elicit the, quote, disclosure of unauthorized information. Why not? The judge asked. Journalists may ask questions. Officials may refuse to answer. End of story? Not quite. Days later, the Pentagon ordered that journalists be hosted in an annex to the building, not inside it, as has been customary. First Amendment rights are equally under attack from Hegseth's embrace of an explicitly Christian nationalist perspective, most recently with a speech asking support for U.S. troops fighting in Iran. He urged people to pray, quote, every day on bended knee with your family, in your schools, in your churches, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hegseth truly believes the armed forces have a Christian mission endorsed by God, which includes bombing a Muslim nation back to the Stone Age, precisely Trump's language in his April 1 address. As Hegseth has said, quote, we negotiate by bombing. This truly unchristian man has a visceral love of violence. Hegseth has framed the boat attacks, which have killed at least 157 people, as part of a broader war to defend Christian nations from the forces of godless narco-communism and tyranny. The New York Times adds to Hegseth's religious brief, he prayed to King Jesus in the White House at a February dinner for governors. And Hegseth has invited a Christian nationalist mentor to lecture and lead prayers at the Pentagon, in gross violation of separation of church and state principles. Let those who have the power to unleash wars choose peace, Pope Leo said in last Sunday's Easter message. Not a peace imposed by force, but through dialogue, not with the desire to dominate others, but to encounter them. But Pete Hegseth isn't listening. Non-Christians in the military and chaplains who serve all soldiers are growing restless with Hegseth's crusade. But his critics in the military fear retribution. A senior Army civilian who has worked in the Pentagon for decades said people who work there are afraid to talk to one another or their superiors about concerns over Hegseth's actions, according to the New York Times. Retired officers are speaking for them, says the Times, and it cites two of them, both of whom say Hegseth has violated every norm of professional conduct. Invoking God and country in American interventions abroad is nothing new, but Pete Hegseth has taken that message a step farther by intertwining his religion with the nation's military establishment. He should be next in line to be dismissed from the cabinet. I'm Mel Gertow for the Global Citizen. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, April 7th, 2026. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news, stories, and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Mel Gertov. The producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Otto. Special thanks to Simone Perez, Isabel Charlet, Jill Freitas, Frida Ross, Mark Richardson, and Eric Galatis. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Althea Billings. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our members. Lovely folks like you. If you'd like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text the word KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Althea Billings. In the past few months, it was revealed that the Portland Housing Bureau was sitting on tens of millions of dollars in unspent funds. This week, four councilors put forward a plan on how to spend $55 million of those dollars. Councilors Candace Avalos, Mitch Green, Angelita Murillo, and Council President Jamie Dunphy pitch putting money towards direct rental assistance, eviction prevention, and affordable housing projects. The proposal was discussed at the Housing and Permitting Committee earlier today. Here's Committee Chair Avalos.
Across Portland, we are hearing from people who are struggling to stay in their homes. Families falling behind on rent, seniors on fixed incomes, and neighbors who are one unexpected expense away from losing their housing. At the same time, we continue to see more people entering homelessness than we are able to house them. So that is the reality in front of us. We learned that tens of millions of dollars, resources that were intended to support housing, were sitting unallocated or planned for uses down the road. That raised a fundamental question for all of us. How do we use these resources in a way that actually meets the urgency of this moment? Over the past several months, we've had that conversation as a council. We held a work session to surface priorities, heard from community partners, and worked collaboratively across offices and with PHB staff to shape a path forward. So what's before us today reflects that shared effort. For me, this is about being clear-eyed about the scale of the challenge and making sure we are using our limited resources where they have the greatest impact. And it also means recognizing that there is no single solution to our housing crisis. We have to take a comprehensive approach, one that helps people stay housed today, stabilizes the housing we already have, and continues to build toward the future our city needs. This is also about accountability. When we identify resources intended for housing, we have a responsibility to make sure they are deployed in a way that is transparent, effective, and aligned with the needs we're hearing from Portlanders. I want to thank my colleagues who have partnered on this effort, as well as staff and community members who helped to shape this proposal. And with that, I'm going to invite my co-sponsors to share a few remarks, and then we'll come back and walk through the ordinance in more detail. So we'll start off with Vice Chair Councilor Green.
Thank you so much, Chair Avalos. I'll keep it brief because I don't want to take time from everyone who's signed up to testify. This is probably one of the most important decisions we will make to shape our approach to housing over the next few years. We are responding to both a crisis of transparency into the nature of how these funds came to be and who gets to talk about that. But then we're also saying we're stepping up the plate and we're going to invest one-time dollars in things that we think are going to have lasting solutions. And so I think the priorities in the ordinance are aligned with the priorities of our city. And I think we have an opportunity to shape a good fiscal stewardship approach to addressing the upstream problems in our housing and homelessness continuum.
Thank you, Vice Chair. We've got Councilor Murillo, I think, in the room. Yes, are you in the corner? Yeah, come on up. Oh, there you are. Come on up to share some remarks.
Oh, it feels weird being on this side of it. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for inviting me to come speak about this ordinance and why I think it is absolutely critical and important. I was running downstairs, so I believe you covered what is already in the ordinance, but I really want to focus on the why and why this matters to our city right now. Every month, Multnomah County is really in dire straits when it comes to our homelessness crisis. We are losing about 300 people a month who are becoming unhoused, and that is not letting up. We have 25% of an increase in people who are becoming unhoused between January 2025 and January 2026. And that is not a trend that is being followed across the country. That is actually something that is unique to Portland, and that is partly because the mechanisms that we are using to address our homelessness crisis are not working, which means that we have to try something different. We have a duty to try something different. Congress expanded LIHTC last year, but studies have shown that more tax credits does not necessarily mean more housing. Developers can sometimes use the new credits to finance projects that they would have built anyways, and LIHTC units are rarely affordable enough for the lowest income households on their own. And the same bill cut over $1 trillion from social safety nets. HUD rental assistance is being restructured. A minimum of 2,000 Portland area households on federal rental subsidies are at imminent risk. SNAP benefits are disappearing for hundreds of thousands of Oregonians. And the bottom line is that the federal government is funding construction tools while gutting the affordability tools to make those units reachable. That is the context in which we have brought forward this ordinance. The Portland Housing Bureau has identified $56 million in funds that can be appropriated now, and they have been working with our offices to put together a package that responds to this moment. I want to talk about why these particular investments matter. There is a difference between a check and a fix. And I know that some are skeptical of rental assistance. I find myself skeptical of it as well. The critique is that rent assistance is just a check to a landlord. It doesn't change the rent. It doesn't change the power dynamic. And when it runs out, tenants are right back where they started. That's a fair critique about rental assistance and how it has historically worked. It is not a critique of what's in this package. Prevention is still the top priority in this package, and keeping someone housed costs a fraction of what it costs to rehouse them after they fall into homelessness. Every tenant who keeps their apartment is one fewer person in the shelter system, one fewer person in the emergency room, one fewer eviction clogging up the courts. As Council President Dunphy has put it, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The question is not whether prevention works, it's whether prevention dollars are structured to produce lasting results or just delay the crisis. And this package balances both. Rent assistance in the short term, it has a flexible aid for people who are about to lose their housing right now, including 2,000 households about to lose federal subsidies. We are not pretending that that is a long-term solution. The structural pieces are in other parts of the package. The debt buy-downs permanently restructure the financing on affordable buildings so that rents can come down and stay down, which is critical. Because the problem in a lot of those buildings isn't operating costs, it's over-leveraged debt passed down to tenants. We also have the right to eviction counsel, which changes the power dynamic in eviction court, where tenants lose their housing more often and most preventably. Social housing acquisition also removes properties from the speculative market entirely. The rent assistance buys time for the structural interventions to take hold, and that is what's part of the design of this package. What we are doing with this ordinance is we are putting our faith and our trust and our infrastructure behind public ownership. $10 million for direct acquisition of social housing. Property the public owns permanently. No investor exit, no LIHTC affordability restrictions that expire when a compliance period ends, no conversion to market rate. One-time dollars should buy permanent assets, and that's exactly what this does. The market cannot fix this alone. The market is exactly what got us here. The gap between what low-income Portlanders earn and what housing costs is too much and too large for the private market to close down on its own. That's not a criticism of developers. It is a fact about the economics of housing in this country. Construction of affordable housing has never produced a sufficient return on investment to attract private capital without public subsidy. That has been true for 90 years of federal housing policy, and it is true today. We can waive fees, we can streamline permits, and we should. But the cost of materials and labor and financing will always exceed what anyone who is poor can pay. LIHTC is necessary, but it's not sufficient. And Congress expanded LIHTC last year, but deal flow has actually slowed since the expansion. And more credits does not necessarily mean more housing. We can keep cycling through subsidies that expire, or we can start converting some of those dollars into permanent public assets that never expire and never convert. Debt buy downs are part of that process. Making sure that we are permanently restructuring finances, that we target over-leveraged mortgage debt, and that we are changing operating costs. By using acquisition as a tool, we can buy property that the public will own outright. And both are structural fixes. These are not band-aid solutions to these long-term problems. What this policy doesn't do is, I think we have to acknowledge that $56 million is not going to single-handedly resolve our housing crisis or our homelessness crisis. It does not close the 300-person monthly gap between inflows and outflows of who is leaving homelessness and who is becoming homeless. It does not replace the federal funding that is being pulled away from local municipalities. The rent assistance package will run out eventually. But what it does do, and what is absolutely critical for this body to understand, is that it keeps people in their homes while we build something that lasts. The debt buy-down permanently lowers rents, the social housing acquisition permanently removes property from the speculative market, and those assets the public will own in 10 years, in 20 years, in 50 years. Everything in this package is a triage to address our problems, and that includes both long-term and short-term solutions. But to me, the real importance of this package is that it is investing in our permanent infrastructure. And that is what councils before us have failed to do, and that is what we have an opportunity to do with these one-time dollars. So I really hope that we will be able to pass this package today for the long-term health and well-being of Portlanders, not just in the coming years, not just those who are going to remember this for our re-elections, but for generations to come. So thank you so much for having me speak today. I really appreciate your time.
Is this working? Okay. Thank you, Councilor Murillo. Our other co-sponsor is Council President Dunphy. He is not going to speak, but he shares, there he is. he shares all of our sentiments. So at its core, this ordinance allocates a set of housing resources that were identified over the past several months and now require council direction. So those include $20.7 million in rental service office funds, $19.7 million in short-term rental and transient lodging tax funds, $10.7 million in construction excise tax funds, and $4.8 million in River District tax increment financing. Together, these resources represent a significant opportunity and responsibility for council to invest in a way that responds to the urgency of Portland's housing needs. And what this ordinance does is take a balanced, system-wide approach, making investments across prevention, stabilization, housing access, and long-term supply. So, first, rent assistance. A total of $9 million will be allocated, including $5 million for flexible short-term rent assistance for households at risk of losing housing before facing eviction, $2 million in expanded funding for rent assistance and rapid rehousing for tenants facing eviction, and $2 million in new funding for rent assistance for individuals experiencing homelessness. Next, eviction defense and right to counsel. $1.9 million in new funding for eviction defense services administered by the Portland Housing Bureau, including eviction defense contractors and the right to counsel pilot. Next is the debt buy down and housing stabilization. $8.8 million in funding to the Portland Housing Bureau to administer operating supports, including debt buy down, to preserve affordability, improve living conditions, and stabilize housing providers in the city's affordable housing portfolio. Next, we have landlord-tenant education at $200,000 in expanded funding to support landlords implementing tenant protections, expand landlord-tenant education, and provide an informational campaign so tenants better understand their rights. Next is down payment assistance, $800,000 in new funding to provide down payment assistance for tenants who are ready to purchase a home. Next, we have a general fund allocation, $4 million is going back to the general fund. Then we have Broadway Corridor, $5.6 million in new funding for Broadway Corridor Parcel 6. Next, we have affordable housing development, $3 million in gap financing for Williams and Russell, Self Enhancement Inc., and Urban Plaza to support projects moving forward. Next, we have social housing acquisition, $10 million in new funding for direct acquisition of one or more properties for social housing under permanent public ownership. And finally, notice of funding availability, $12.6 million will remain unallocated at this time and is intended to support a future notice of funding availability, or NOFA, for housing development. Taken together, this ordinance reflects a comprehensive approach, investing in keeping people housed today, stabilizing the housing we already have, and building toward the housing system Portland needs moving forward. Try your best to be brief, but we are looking forward to hearing from you. Let's go ahead and get into public testimony.
My name is Zach White. I knocked on doors for some of you with my work with Next Up Action Fund, but today I'm speaking as someone who was born at Portland Adventist Hospital. I'm 29 years old. I would love to own a home in the city I was born in, but most of you probably know Fortune magazine reported that the average home buyer in the United States is 59 years old. The city is my home, but that is out of reach for many people, many young people. Today, I pay too much of my income for a small apartment in Selwood. I love the bald eagles outside my window and the parks. The algorithmic price fixing ban you passed feels like pointing in the right direction, so thank you. I was proud to stand outside while Councilor Avalos introduced Slow the Inflow in December. You told the story of being 12 years old, helping your family live paycheck to paycheck with grace and humor, but the pain and injustice of that hit me really hard. I posted a clip of that online and someone commented that they cried opening their paycheck and seeing they have just enough to pay for rent. In the last social housing report, you saw a double line graph of average rent in Portland rising faster than average income. For working Portlanders, the math isn't mathing. I support the Keep Portland House proposal, gap financing for humans, You ate with that. Most young people in the city may not own properties or stock shares, but this city is ours. Thank you for hearing us.
Thank you.
Chair Avalos, Vice Chair Green, members of the Housing and Permanent Committee. For the record, my name is Kevin Cronin, and I'm a registered as a lobbyist in my role as the Director of Policy and Advocacy at Housing Oregon. We're a statewide association of mission-driven organizations that build, finance, operate, and support affordable housing. I'm here today in support of the ordinance, especially the proposed investment and operating support, including debt buy-down for non-market housing. We need to treat affordable housing like the public service it has become, instead of forcing it to operate like a business. Affordable housing has propped up far more than just our housing system. We became the place where gaps in the health system, the addiction recovery system, the court system, and the safety net all landed at once. The financial math changed. Higher earners saw their incomes rise. People at the bottom did not. Affordable housing operates under rent restrictions and formulas based on area median income that do not always match what extremely low income tenants can actually afford to pay. The result is plain. Buildings serving the 0 to 30% AMI Portlanders are often unable to cover basic operating costs. This ordinance has practical tools that can help align rents with tenant incomes, stabilize operations, fill vacant units, and preserve affordable homes. My last point, when the city invests project funds in affordable housing development, those dollars should move through a Portland Housing Bureau NOFA process. As the professional association, we think that is a best practice and creates clear expectations and increases transparency. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Go ahead, Kathy.
Thank you. I'm Kathy Swift, Senior Vice President at Heritage Bank, lending to affordable housing, homeless shelters, and social safety net nonprofit providers in Oregon, many of them here in Portland. I do believe that with the federal, state, and county funding cuts, our safety net holes are widening quickly. And over the next 12 months, there is an accelerating number of citizens who will fall into homelessness. The spending allocation is very well thought out, and while not enough money to solve this crisis we are facing, it is what we have available to triage the worst outcomes. This plan will be effective, in my opinion, and rather than seek perfection in our solution, we can and should use these funds as soon as possible for rent assistance, gap financing on projects really close to closing and bringing on units, and debt buy downs to keep projects from falling into foreclosure. I disagree with Councilor Novak's proposed amendments, as I don't believe they are as well thought out as several of what's been proposed. And as a lender to this sector, action is absolutely necessary now. Thank you.
Thank you. We've got Andy online.
Yeah, hi, Chair Avalos, Vice Chair Green, and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Andy Miller. I'm here as Executive Director of Our Just Future, an affordable housing and shelter provider located in District 1. While our organization supports a lot of the proposed package, I want to use my 90 seconds today to emphasize and lift up two critical funding priorities. First, we urge the council to fast track and increase your proposed investments in rental assistance for people experiencing homelessness, outlined in 1C, and specifically to prioritize these investments for people currently living in shelters at risk of closure due to budget contraction. Multnomah County's Homeless Services Department has proposed a budget for FY27 that would close over 600 currently occupied shelter beds in less than 100 days, with no budget to fund a transition plan. Without immediate investment, we risk having to discharge 600 Portlanders staying at our shelters back to unsheltered homelessness. This is a preventable catastrophe. Targeted, rapid deployment of rent assistance to impacted shelter providers can successfully move people from shelter to housing and avoid the disastrous consequence of returning people currently sheltered to the streets. Second, with respect to portfolio stabilization, we support these investments and We believe they are urgent and will work best if they remain flexible. Across our own portfolio of 600 apartments and affordable housing, we're seeing increased financial strain, rising operating costs, and real risks to the stability of existing units. We appreciate your leadership and urge you to act with urgency. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Squire, and I'm a street librarian for Street Books, a mobile library serving people living outside and on the margins. I support item 2026-125 with amendments. It's hard to believe that in the last 6 months, the city of Portland has uncovered millions in unspent housing funds, unspent, unused, while people fell into homelessness waiting for help, while we are desperate for permanently affordable housing, while we see more and more people lose their homes every day. Our patrons are more than percentages. They are more than numbers. They are names. They have stories. Their resilience is humbling. All Portland Housing Bureau dollars should be directed toward the people who need it the most. Our city government should spend our tax dollars to bring down the cost of housing. Housing is expensive. Housing dollars should not be going to the general fund. Mayor Wilson has already wasted over $325 million in his failing overnight shelter project and to the abhorrently inhumane sweeps plaguing our most vulnerable neighbors. Housing dollars should not be going to the for-profit Broadway Corridor project. It is unconscionable to give housing dollars to developer companies to create more unaffordable housing. Portland, let's be honest, fair market housing is not fair. We need to invest in social housing acquisition and development. We need to support public acquisition of underutilized private market property. We need to apply continuous pressure on our local governments to invest in making housing affordable for all. It is vital that we create forever affordable housing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Councillor Loretta Smith.
Thank you so much. It does feel different when we're on this side of the dais. And I just want to say, Councillor Avalos, to your first 5 points, ditto, 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 ditto. And to you, Alana Pertle-Guinney, your amendments, ditto, ditto, ditto. I'm supporting your supplemental budget that directs unallocated funds into what matters most: emergency rental assistance, affordable housing options, and pathways to home ownership. This is such a time-sensitive time in this housing crisis. These are dollars we can use right now to stabilize families and invest in long-term solutions. We have here in Portland an opportunity to put real action into our housing crisis. Too many of our families are struggling to stay housed, and behind every number, there is a real person. Specifically, I support what you're trying to do with the Broadway Corridor, with Williams and Russell, and building home ownership, and also making sure that our most vulnerable folks who are facing eviction, that they get those dollars first. I also want to say specifically, let's support Hacienda. We can put about 50 units on live by the end of this year. And secondly, Oasis of Praise, which is in District 3. Those folks need an opportunity to serve our houseless and our vulnerable individuals with mental health, warming and cooling centers. Thank you so much for allowing me this time.
Thank you, Counselor. Whoever wants to go next, go ahead, Ben.
My name is Ben Gilbert, and I'm a tenant in District 4. I'm also a volunteer lobbyist for the Portland Democratic Socialists of America, a mass democratic organization with over 3,000 dues-paying members in the Portland metro area, many of whom are struggling renters being crushed by the rapidly increasing costs of housing, services, and consumer goods. The working class desperately needs the government to step up and work for us. With that said, we generally support the supplemental budget for the Portland Housing Bureau for this fiscal year. We support the debt buy-downs because they lower rents, stabilize affordable housing, and fill vacancies. We are very supportive of funding for the acquisition of social housing because it is essential to a truly affordable future Portland. The market has failed to deliver affordable housing, and social housing is a proven solution. In fact, projects like Parcel 6, funded almost exclusively with millions of public dollars, should be the types of the types of developments that we include in our social housing portfolio. We support eviction defense because it works and stops the inflow into homelessness. We saw how effective prevention worked during the pandemic to dramatically reduce the inflow into homelessness. One change we would like to see is the general fund monies reallocated towards rent assistance, rent buy-downs, and social housing. Every dollar towards the general fund is a dollar taken away from mitigating the housing crisis in our city right now. And to conclude, we strongly advocate that City Hall adopt and operationalize the Renters' Bill of Rights. Again, renters are being crushed under the weight of this economy. And while the bosses and the lobbyists at the Metro Chamber cry about tax cuts, we desperately need direct assistance and protections for tenants. Thank you.
Thank you. Anna.
Good afternoon. I'm Anna Karnitsky, Executive Director of Community Warehouse, the Portland area's only furniture bank. I generally support this supplemental budget's investments in eviction prevention, acquisition of existing housing, rent assistance and rehousing. These are critical, especially after federal, state, and county cuts. From our vantage point, furnishing homes for thousands of families each year, full spectrum housing investments are what make the system work. When someone gets a housing voucher but has no furniture, their housing isn't functional or stable. The data shows when people transitioning out of homelessness receive coordinated support, they're most likely to succeed. Also, prevention is exponentially more effective than crisis response. The biggest indicator if someone will experience homelessness is if they've experienced it before. Eviction prevention must remain a priority. While this budget fills some gaps, we know it doesn't resolve everything, and we cannot keep making reactive decisions in crisis mode. Community Warehouse joins the Welcome Home Coalition and Housing Oregon in calling for the city and county to collectively and immediately map FY27 resources and gaps across all funding streams. Please engage service providers in service planning, strategic planning. We are on the front lines and we see what works. As you map resources, include the full spectrum of housing stability services. How are essential supports like furniture funded? I urge you to support these investments that address housing inequity, not additions to the general fund, and to commit to comprehensive resource mapping with service providers at the not proverbial table. Thank you.
That was an excerpt of the discussion at the Housing and Permitting Committee on a plan to spend down unspent millions found in the city's Housing Bureau. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.